Mets. You'll be proud of this game, and you can do a great deal for football today. A great deal for all the players and the league and everything else.
Oh, I see him looking. I'm closing.
I was born in it. Molded by it.
Yeah, so they got to wake up with a piss out.
I'm talking about Rasul.
Mercedes Lewis here, a.k.a. Big Dog. Big Dog, Big Dog, Big Dog. You're listening to Poor Man's Packers Podcast. Go Pack Go.
Good night, man. I'm so excited. Let's roll.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Poor Man's Packers Podcast, the one Packers Podcast in the state of our mind. I am Spencer, joined this week with Andrew. Andrew.
Hello, hello.
And we are back returning on a victory. Well, should I say it's Tuesday. We record on Tuesdays, but a much nicer week in the greater Minneapolis area, obviously, yeah, with the Bears losing to the Green Bay Packers 10-27.
Coupled with the Vikings' terrible loss, there's any gloating that had happened is gone. Those smug-ass smiles are wiped.
I was talking to one of our friends who's a Viking fan, Kyle. You might not Kyle from the podcast, but an evil Viking fan, Kyle.
Yes, I'm familiar with that one as well.
And the day after, he's just hitting me up on Twitter all the time, just DMing me like these clips, stupid clips. And I'm like, is this really how you're talking shit? It was like some stupid one of Rashawn Gary getting blocked, another one of Everson Griffin like pushing someone on the offensive line. And he just said to me, he's like, you know, this is different. This year it's different. And I'm like, I can't tell if you're actually like trying to talk football or if you're just being a troll, because we are one game into the season. And sure enough, we saw what happened on Monday Night Football.
Well, that's typical. I mean, any fan, but I feel like Vikings fans do it so much in this area, or just maybe it's our friends that we talk to at a more, you know, often basis. But it is a lot. You're right.
I think we're hypersensitive to it, but the longer time goes on, it does seem like it's such a react now type world where, yeah, you know, we're 2 weeks into the season now and people still want to make claims. You know, the Buffalo Bills are the best team in the world.
Or so-and-so is going to go undefeated or, you know.
Yes.
There's something I want to say because I just watched the clip on it and I felt like you mentioned it last week about the whole Aaron Rodgers thing and Tom Brady.
Yep.
Did he break another tablet?
Oh, yeah, that's right. No, and that's...
And I think I only saw it one place, and I was like, this... Because I just stuck in my head. Last week, you were like, oh, if Aaron Rodgers makes a sad face, it's on the front page.
Yep.
But Tom Brady can break a tablet. Well, I'm like, I saw one tiny small blimp about him breaking a tablet, and that was the end of it. I'm shocked that it's not everywhere.
The hypocrisy is unreal, because obviously everyone thinks, you know, Aaron Rodgers, and yes, he could be surly at times, you know, any little thing he gets on the rookies about. And another thing, the rookies really haven't fucked up at all this year. It was literally the first play, and that's about it. Maybe that dubs out early in the game this week, but whatever.
Sure.
Either way, so we had like the glances from week one. Tom Brady, literally. So this is week two. Not a big game. They ended up winning anyways. Literally,
right.
literally starts a brawl. Like, he's part of starting a brawl. He throws the tablet. We have multiple shots of him yelling, and it's, you know, we don't hear too much about afterwards. Obviously, Mike Evans got suspended and all that. And then we go back to Rodgers has thrown a tablet back in the day. He talked about it today on Pat McAfee, actually, as well. Threw a tablet. When he threw the tablet and broke it, it was week 16 in 2018, I believe. Or no, 2017, whatever year it was. And he threw it because on that play, he threw a pick or something. And I believe the season ended after that play. Like,
so
if
it was almost justified.
Game, right.
Right.
And, you know, of course we go on, blah, blah, blah.
No. No, but nonetheless, I just wanted to point that out before we got too far and I forgot to mention it, because I was like, what an interesting reference to make week one about it. And then it happens again and you can actually see that it's not everywhere. Like,
with how Tampa's offensive line has been this year, I'm sure we're going to see a lot more
that
from Tom Brady like this going on
as well, too. Right.
But getting right into it. Once again, the Packers did win 27-10. Very nice, very classic Packers-Bears game. You know, it's, you know, you eke it out a little bit at the beginning, and then once you get to the second quarter, you can put your feet up and relax.
I actually, just so I was prepared for this week's episode, I called my sweaty cousin, as we talked about before, and he did not sweat at all. So
there you
that's
go.
Just like you said, classic Bears-Packers, very easy-flowed game.
Yeah, your family really, like, you... I don't know if people thought you were serious last week when you said like you called him, but something is wrong with your family where any little thing you have to call, even if it's like a 30-second conversation, it's just...
Hey, you see that? Yeah, I did. Yeah, I'm watching the game too. Okay, cool. How's your chicken? Good night.
Yes, absolutely ridiculous. So we'll talk about the game. We'll have our normal Lynn Lake pick six six-pack to start the game. Once again, Lynn Lake, if you're in the Twin Cities area, watch the Packer game. If you want to go to a Packer bar, go there. We'll have our pick six, the plays that shape the game, like I said. We'll break down the offense and defense. We will have Take News back this week. Little talk Atari. We'll talk about David Bakhtiari and what's going on with his situation. We will have Is Kyle an Idiot? Packers trivia. And we will, of course, preview the Tampa Bay game. But first, pick six.
Pick six. Pick six. Pick six.
Yeah! All right, the first... pick six play. Packers are already up 3-0 after the opening drive. Second and 10. Of course, many of you may remember. It seems like every time this happens on primetime, too. Bears call a flea flicker. Fields gets the ball, throws it deep for it was a very long comeback route from EQ. Picked it up, ran a little after that. Jair in coverage, 30-yard gain, but eventually does lead to a Justin Fields rushing touchdown, making it 7-3. You know, the one big drive that the Packers kind of gave up. Obviously, at this time, I think a lot of us were worrying about Joe Barry and what was going on. Also seeing Jair Alexander kind of bust a coverage. But, this kind of sets the tone of what that first quarter was, at least, and got us back into that worry mode.
Yeah, you could say worry mode. I feel like it was just kind of game flow. I mean, it's not like at that point in time, I don't think that they were rushing all over us. I know they, had consistent breakout runs, but a big play and a couple obviously good additional plays, I felt very comfortable with our state in the game at that point still. I wasn't really worried, but I mean, it was like, okay, my prediction for the over is more likely to hit now, but that was the only real...
Sure.
I wasn't worried at that point.
Well, good. Yeah, I don't get too worried either. Honestly, since... I've been watching football. You know, it's always been Favre or Rodgers. And especially with Rodgers, I do not sweat unless we are down 2 touchdowns.
Right.
Like, we have to be down 14 points.
Yeah, it's always an open game. You're never out of it.
Yeah. Moving on, second pick six play. After a Watson pitch and a Sammy catch to get us into the red zone, Packers are facing a second and 11. Rodgers takes the snap, pitches it forward to Aaron Jones. Royce Newman and Josh Myers pull, lead block for him, and Aaron Jones finagles his way through them and into the end zone, making it 7-10 Packers.
And I loved watching our running backs in this game. I mean, obviously...
You don't say.
I know. We said last week we're going to see, ideally, or of course, a lot more rushes this week than the previous one. But beyond that, they were just working. I mean, we saw consistent 8-plus-yard rushes, and it was like almost, you're playing different leagues. Like, they were just pummeling people right over.
And we'll get into that, too, because as we talked about last week with Jake Hansen and Royce Newman, Elgton Jenkins was able to play this week, started at right tackle. Newman being able to play guard back inside, that's just his natural position anyways. That obviously had a huge boost for the offense in general, and... Yeah, like you were saying, we were talking about, like everyone else, hey, we got to run the ball more. And one, for them to actually do it is nice. Two, I mean, the Bears knew we were going to do it as well, and we were still able to, Aaron Jones was averaging like 9 yards a carry, which is just absurd.
Especially when you're seeing more than the 4 carries of week one, right? 40 yards for 4, okay, for sure, 10. But when the guy has 15-plus carries and he's averaging 9, that is awesome.
Yes. Moving on. After a sack, which is usually a drive killer, not just for, most teams, but the Green Bay Packers, after that, you kind of just sit back and like, okay, how are we going to make this up? Second and 28, Rodgers throws a nice little screen to the rookie Romeo Dubs, who finagles his way back and forth. The second time I've used that word. And picks up 20 yards on 3rd and 8, kind of doubling up on these plays here. 3rd and 8, Rodgers rolls out and, of course, gets it to Randall Cobb to convert it. Once again, all he does is pick up first downs on 3rd down. And a few plays later, Aaron Jones scores, making it 7-17. But that was Rodgers after the game as well, said that those two plays back-to-back really did change the course of the offense for the rest of the game.
For sure, they did, and they set a good tone moving forward. But I just wanted to comment that watching that specific play, I
remember... The screen?
Right after the sack, Yep. And then watching them, make up the 20 yards for the screen play, I was like, yeah, that's an only the Packers are going to see that. And then it was like 20 minutes later, I think we sacked Fields and they like rushed 18 yards for a first down. And I was like, God damn, I just like kicked my, I'm like, yeah, hey, honey, look at that. That's a Packer, you know? And it was just, I just felt so stupid, but it was, and when, yes, that doesn't take away from the Packers offensive play. Fair. I just, you know, wanted to comment on watching that back to back. You know, you think you get a sack, it's third down and long. It's going to be a turnover here. And it's a fun game to watch.
Once again, what happens if that play doesn't happen? We end up punting there. And what if the Bears score after that? Who really knows?
That's why they make it in the top pick six.
There you go. Wow. Very smooth. Uh-huh. Very perfect. Uh-huh. Yeah. And I loved watching Romeo Dubs on that too. Very rare to see a rookie. Usually they're very impatient, waiting for blocks to set up. But I think he like grabbed Yosh from behind too, like his collar, and just like literally used him as a lead blocker. And even then, I was watching the game at a buddy's house, and we were like, oh, you know, we don't see screens too often. And then that happened, and I don't know. I would think we're going to see more of that going forward as well.
But yeah, you'd hope so. I mean, seeing these guys get comfortable makes the game a lot more enjoyable to watch. And
this is true. This better is place. Very true. Yeah, when they score and pick up yards.
I do like it when my favorite team scores quite a bit.
So that made it 7-17. Moving on to the fourth Lynn Lake pick six play. Under 2 minutes left in the first half, 2nd and 7, Packers have the ball. Rodgers avoids pressure, runs out to the right, and once again hits Randall Cobb for the first down. That was, you know, with a lot going on, there was a couple mistakes made on offense. You know, the fumbled snap, the snap that Josh Myers had that grazed Christian Watson, a couple dumb plays. Rodgers had a couple misses too. That throw to Dylan in the flats was just terrible where he missed them. But seeing that play was classic. Rodgers extending a play, hitting Cobb, picking up first down, and of course that eventually led to another the touchdown to Lazard, making it 7-24.
How many times did we punt in that game?
Twice. Just twice.
Okay. Yep. Because I could have, I mean, obviously you could say as any time, could have been a lot more. I mean, a couple big saves really helped us, and they turned into not only punts but scoring drives where, you know, we got touchdowns out of it, and our overall momentum kept cruising.
Yeah, especially in the first half too, where there was a couple ticky-tack things there. Right. Offensive line getting in groove again too, with a couple, you know, better pieces on the line, but they're a little rusty as well, but able to overcome that. Moving on to the fifth pick six play. Fast forward all the way, 8 minutes left in the fourth quarter. The score is now 10-24. It's a fourth and goal out of shotgun. The Bears have it. Of course, Justin Fields takes the snap, runs behind Montgomery, who's lead blocking for him. Fields tries to dart to the left and misses a clear hole to the right and gets tackled at the goal line. Clearly, clearly short of the goal line. Does not score. They review it. Holds up. Huge play. You know, I don't think the game really changes all that much, but once again, nice to see some life back again in the defense. Devondre Campbell started the hit, and even Jair getting in a little late and just pushing the pile back was probably the difference with how close that ball came.
Out of curiosity, you're the head coach here. What play do you run if you're Chicago?
I don't know. If you're Chicago, I mean,
because they don't have option. I mean, maybe you either go Montgomery, but you're not throwing the ball, right? You're keeping that.
All I think of is what frustrates me when the Packers are right on the goal line. What pisses me off when they score. And all it is I don't know what you're doing with the wideouts. Maybe you bring them in tight and then move them out wide. You have your quarterback in shotgun with one running back next to him. You have him go up to the line like he's going to do a check. And then you just take the snap right behind the center and run forward.
Sure.
That seems to always work when people try it against us. So I would do that, especially with a large quarterback like Justin Fields.
No, but that makes sense.
Either way, I mean, last week too, we talked about it, how on our fourth down play against Minnesota, we ran it with A.J. Dillon out of shotgun.
Yep.
A little bit of a different play there. But once again, it's just the hesitation that you have to have if you're running the ball out of shotgun. And that clearly bit the Bears this week as well.
No. Inches. I mean, absolutely.
Yeah, inch. Moving on. After that, the last pick six play. Some more football is played. Now there's just over 2 minutes left. The Bears, once again, get the ball. It's 2nd and 10. Justin Fields takes the snap, runs around the pocket a little bit, creates some space, runs out to the right, and you're like, oh, maybe we're going to see an impressive Justin Fields play here. But, of course, he does not impress. He instead throws out wide to one Jair Alexander, who runs clear across the field, makes up that space, picks off the ball, and the game is once again over. It was I like watching that play too, because I assumed it was Jair, but he came across the line, picked it off, and then just kind of disappeared, slid on the sideline. Everyone kind of, you know, bum rushed him, and they're celebrating, and it was still like 15, 20 seconds after the play, and I'm like, that was Jair that picked it off, right? Because I haven't seen who has the ball right now. And then,
but it's fun too. I mean, it's tough putting that one in as a play that shapes the game. I'm not saying I would define it anywhere else. I guess by that interception, we know the game is over and there's no tiny comeback chance.
Are you shitting on
but
the second?
I just, you know, a little bit here. Mm-hmm. I think it is fun nonetheless. I suppose it can make the cut because it is nice to see our defense make those interceptions and everyone, you know, come together.
Well, the game, in my eyes, the game was over in the second quarter. At halftime, that game was over. Yeah. And this was just another, like, you know, it's the Bears quarterback throwing a pick to a young, you know, the young stud on the in the Packers secondary. It's just right. It's the perfect little cherry on top of this game.
The good way to end. That makes sense.
Absolutely. So that was the Lynn Lake pick six. Moving on to the offense. It was nice to see, you know, we talked a little bit about it, and I mentioned it as well with seeing, it's kind of funny to think back now, but Nathaniel Hackett and Luke Getsy and Outen all leaving the Packers, offensive minds, seeing what this offense would be. Week one wasn't the best for the Packers. Week two, it was nice to see, you know, an offense with some type of rhythm. We went from 23 total touches for AJ and Aaron Jones last week to 37 on Sunday. And it's weird, too, because even that first quarter, I don't know what was going on, but like Packers Twitter, Packer fans are getting restless when I think the second series we stalled and had to punt. And it's like, man, why are, you know, they're like, what's wrong with this offense? What's wrong with LaFleur? And once again, it's, we knew going into this year there was going to be growing pains. So in week two, with people already voicing them, it's like, can we slow our roll a little bit? We obviously corrected it.
Well, we talked about that, I mean, just a week ago. Our three of our main ball catchers are absolutely rookies, and it's their first game.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to know if that 37 number meets the criteria for my week one hot take. So we'll have to reference that first one. I think it was like 38.
Yeah.
I might be one low. I don't.
Yeah, it was kind of bold. Yeah, for those.
It wasn't
remember,
that bold. It yeah, was, it wasn't that bold.
It was if we would go from 15 total carries to 30 total
carries.
It was
double. Yeah.
Yeah. And
so I think
see.
I'm just shy.
Yeah. Oh, no, we did have quite a few more.
Yeah. Okay. No. Yeah. Right. 32.
It wasn't very bold. But yes. The only other thing I would say overall with the offense, obviously 24 points in the first half is nice, but finishing with 27 is pretty meh. But you can obviously do that when you're playing against a much worse team in the Chicago Bears. So.
I feel like the way we saw the game, I mean, obviously they're doing some clock management, and if they needed to score, we would have seen them score.
Sure. Yep.
They don't care like I do if they're hitting 41.5 points.
Right.
So they're just happy to keep the win and drain clock time.
It was kind of a classic Mike McCarthy-esque, just, you know,
right.
Drain the game.
And that's, I think, something we've talked about, not on a podcast, but in general, letting off the gas. You know, it is
all
always
gas, no brakes. Yes, that's the big thing with Matt LaFleur that they've talked about.
Yeah.
Who I couldn't care less. It, you know, got a little iffy there, I think, at the very beginning of the fourth quarter, but who gives a shit?
Right.
Looking, you know, at the offense, starting with the quarterback, Aaron Rodgers was 19 out of 25, 234 yards and two touchdowns. A little shaky early. Like I said, he had that miss to A.J. Dillon. I'm still not sure if that Romeo Dubs quick out was Romeo's fault or Rodgers. It still seemed to be behind him a little bit. And then early in the game, too, it could have been a pick six play as well. But that throw down the sideline near the sticks to Aaron Jones to get the first down and get us into field goal range, that was pretty fucking sick. It's one of those where I feel like it's so automatic, and we see it so often where you see Aaron Jones, the running back on the sideline, have to reach up and make a play on the ball. And once again, seeing it the first time this year, early on, I was like, okay, cool. This is going to be an Aaron Jones game.
Where do we see our boys at PFF giving Rodgers this week?
I don't know.
Okay. I didn't know if you look. All right.
No,
all
I, right. I mean, who fucking, if we win, it's more so like the guys, I like to use it for guys you don't always notice, like offensive linemen, defensive linemen, maybe some people in the secondary.
Because I'm looking at the stat line and I'm like, oh, 234.
Don't look at the stat line.
Right. But I'm saying it doesn't matter when you're up two scores. That's what I'm saying. It, yeah. Obviously, like I just said, if he needed to, we're were scoring. He's throwing more balls. And but why?
More recently, too, you know, early on, obviously, like 2011 and shit, he would put up outrageous numbers. But now it's like you expect 200-something yards and two touchdowns. Moving on to running back, which we probably should have started at. Aaron Jones, once again, leading things off, we said this a lot when Devontae Adams was on the team, especially when we started the podcast. I think 2019 is where he really emerged as one of the elite receivers in the league. And we would always say, yeah, ho-hum, it's just a whatever Devontae Adams stat line where he puts up 90 yards and has two touchdowns or something.
Do you think this is going to be a consistent thing in our wins?
You could let me fucking finish here, bud.
That would be true.
Okay, so I'm starting to think the same thing here now with Aaron Jones, who, you know, you're watching the game and it's like, huh, he just keeps making plays, huh? He had 15 carries, 132 yards, one touchdown. He also had three receptions for 38 yards and a touchdown. Just an absolute, you know, monster. Week one, not a hell of a lot. Week two, he's the centerpiece. It's odd because he does seem to be the offense at this point. I keep waiting for A.J. Dillon to come on a little bit more. He hasn't really had one of these massive, massive games yet, but I don't know. I feel like Aaron Jones might still be one of the most overlooked players in Packers history. Even he's far and away the highest yards per carry for anyone who wasn't like a quarterback in the 40s and actually played running back and has over 500 rushes or a couple hundred rushes in his career. So
is some of that because of the tandem, though? I mean, not only do you get a break, but A.J., when you're doing those two back sets and A.J.'s blocking out there, is that not helping a ton?
No, I don't think so, because you look at when Jamal Williams was the other running back, and he was a pretty solid player as well, but that's when Aaron Jones had like 16 touchdowns in 2019.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
But yeah, it's just always fun to see Aaron Jones get the ball. I still think Eddie Lacy was probably my favorite running back to watch, but outside of him, Aaron Jones, the way no one truly gets skinny the way Aaron Jones gets skinny in the hole.
I want to ask what happened to Eddie Lacy, but I don't even want to go down a rabbit hole of that conversation.
He's no longer in the league. He tweets sometimes. And okay, I follow him on Instagram. Why? I think he was doing yoga this week.
He ganked some weight, and they like benched him or whatever and cut him. And then that was it, right?
He signed with Seattle for a year, didn't catch on, was out of the league after that.
And that's it. Cool.
Yeah, that was it. You know, I'm sure we'll see him again sometime. But yeah, either way, Aaron Jones, yeah, just this game, 8.8 yards per carry, which is pretty fucking crazy. A.J. Dillon, 16 carries, 61 yards, a 3.4 average, one catch for 6 yards. Like I said, you know, we keep waiting for A.J. Dillon to turn into an absolute stud. I still hold out hope. I think it will happen, but, you know, thunder and lightning, it's a little more lightning than the thunder right now.
It is also, I mean, obviously it's possible, but two running backs, there's only so many rushes you're going to have in a game. So to have two absolute studs where you're seeing two running backs put up 100 plus yards per game on average, I think that's going to be a big ask. I don't know.
Yeah, but I mean, Dillon still had 16 carries to Aaron Jones.
Right, he should have had 15. Sure. He should have had some more yards per carry.
It's weird because we always refer to them as A.J. Dillon as a change of pace back. And it's funny because literally just getting the ball, the handoffs, is a change of pace. It seems like it takes a full half second longer for him to get the ball. But I'm looking to do either way. I love A.J. Dillon. We'll see how his season progresses here.
Yeah.
Moving on to wide receiver, Sammy Watkins, 3 receptions, 93 yards, had a long of 55. Yeah, he was good after not being very good last week.
Which is a hot take in of itself and a contrarian opinion from the co-host here, because biggest target on the game, 3 from week one even. I liked him week one. I mean, you didn't, but I also loved him week two.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I'm looking forward, a little underrated thing with him, I'm looking forward to seeing Sammy Watkins playing with the white sleeves in December and January, possibly with some snowflakes coming down. That just seems like a very nice aesthetic for Lambeau Field. But yeah, either way, he was very impressive. He straight up ran by Eddie Jackson on that long catch and run. Wasn't expecting that out of him. And he's got this weird thing where I don't want to say drunk, but it's almost like he stomps when he's running. Like, he's almost got that hockey player, like, wide foot stance type deal. And
yeah,
he's just, he runs with aggression for someone who isn't extremely tall or large.
Either. Unrelated to Sammy's athleticism, I was browsing the Packers subreddit today, and I saw this post where, like, it said Aaron Rodgers, I think it was A.J. Dillon and Aaron Jones, or no, sorry, it was Randall Cobb and Aaron Jones. Mm-hmm. They're all in the top 10 as far as player likeliness in the NFL throughout all teams.
Likeliness?
Like households like them. Like they have a favorable, but no, so that's fine. Okay. But
how
Sammy Watkins.
How do you fucking measure that?
No, I think they did some kind of survey. But Sammy Watkins is in the bottom five.
Yeah.
So it was notable because I was just scrolling. Once I got to it, I was just like, oh, let's see this player.
Yeah.
And I saw Sammy. I'm like, what? I don't remember. I mean, I know obviously of his previous career, but I don't remember him like curb stomping
anyone.
He's
a little weird. To bring him up again, Ty Doon, the not reporter, whatever, the storyteller who does NFL stories at times, he spent time in Buffalo and wrote on Sammy back in the day as well. And he's just kind of a weird cat. He's kind of like Aaron Rodgers. Like he referred to himself as like a lizard person or something at one point. He might have said the world is flat or something. This was like 5 years ago.
Oh.
So he's, well, I don't know. He's a different thinker.
What's that basketball player?
Kyrie Irving.
Yeah, God. Okay. Yeah. Hopefully he's not that to our locker room.
No, everyone has only said positive things. Matt LaFleur has only said positive things. I think he... And even reporters have said very, very, like Jason Wilde loves Sammy Watkins. So it's more good than bad. It's just obviously in today's day and age, you can't be out there with, you know, different takes you're going to get.
Nothing too crazy. You're going to get canceled. I that's why I just didn't know what his whole deal was. That's essentially why I brought up the whole
I'm surprised
the whole ranking system.
Five,
yeah.
I don't know
it
how you
like
fucking measure that.
Him is. And then a couple guys who aren't even in the league anymore.
It just sounds like one of those like U.S. maps where it says like what's this state's favorite fast food. And it's like this is just
it
bullshit.
Might come down to maybe just like they took some random players and then they said, who do you even know them? You know, household names might even be.
Would not surprise
right.
Me. Yeah. Moving on to Randall Cobb, 3 receptions, 37 yards, and once again, he just converts third downs. It's all he does. I've probably said this multiple times, but I am sick of people saying that he is stealing Amari Rodgers' snaps. I don't know if I've seen anything from Amari Rodgers to really think that he should get these snaps, and I think I actually said this to Kyle. Don't worry, we are still in contact. You know, we still have Alan Lazard, Randall Cobb, Sammy Watkins, Christian Watson, and Romeo Doubs, Robert Tonyan, and then the two running backs, and then there's Amari Rodgers. So I could give a shit less about him getting the ball because he hasn't shown me he should get the ball at this
point.
And
I think that's not just your decision. I think if obviously he was that good or he was stealing, there are professionals who are paid to make that choice who would make the fucking choice.
But we did also trade, not to be devil's advocate to myself here, but we did trade for Randall Cobb last offseason to get Aaron Rodgers to come back. So it is still a thing but where Rodgers would be upset if he wasn't playing.
Exactly that point. I think is that Cobb, okay, so Amari Rodgers is here, but Cobb is that safety net with all these other rookies or younger players.
Mm-hmm.
So Amari does not have the experience and this the
but
trust.
But then right? You say the same thing about Romeo Doubs and Christian Watson, but Amari Rodgers just has not shown enough to warrant that. Yes.
Sure.
Moving on to Romeo Doubs, talked about him a little bit earlier. He had the 2 receptions for 27 yards. Love the screen pass. Can't talk enough about that. And don't know whose fault it was on the Rodgers throw to him that quick out. Christian Watson, 3 receptions for 9 yards, pretty much just those little jet sweeps, and absolutely love that. Once again, obviously not super productive on the stat sheet, but even watching it live, you see the extra hesitation from the inside linebackers moving with the flow of Christian Watson. I think Ross Uglum posted a couple videos this week on Twitter showing that again. Just getting those linebackers to bite a little bit. It does seem like the last few years, too, we would run this with MVS or EQ. And, you know, halfway through the season, we pretty much abandoned it because it simply did not work. But there was multiple plays on these long Aaron Jones runs where it's just literally getting that extra half step is enough to get you 5-10 yards down the line if, you know, it's just becoming a larger run.
Exactly like you just said, we're opening up that gap. So if they follow him here and there, I mean... And on top of that, hey, if you're going to catch a ball and run for 3 yards, I mean, his long is 3, right? So it's literally just 3 3-yard passes. Not the best thing in the world, but I mean, we'll take consistent yardage.
Yeah, for sure. And I've talked about this last year too, and it's not like this is crazy, but Matt LaFleur, he's talked a lot about players having certain roles. Obviously, Mercedes Lewis being a blocking guy, you know, back in the day it would be like Tyler Irvin and his little jet sweep stuff. It's nice to see the clear roles with the rookies, too. Christian Watson, jet sweep guy now. Romeo Doubs, this quick shit, even the short out. that wasn't a completion. It seems like they're trying to get him the ball in these tight spaces, follow blockers. So we'll see how this improves going forward. But if nothing else, they'll have that baseline of touches going forward. Moving on to tight end, Robert Tonyan, not much to talk about. 2 receptions, 11 yards. Thought he was going to score on that one in the red zone.
I had higher hopes, too. I know it's your favorite player of any Green Bay player ever of all time.
Not true at all.
So
yeah, not
I,
even close.
I was just, I don't know for your
top
sake,
five on
I
this
was...
team right now. Yep.
No, I joke, of course, because, again, watching him for the past few years, we've seen him progress. And again, yeah, like you said, I totally thought he was going to score there. And I just keep thinking he's going to have a game where he eats up 6 targets or something for 5 catches and 50 yards.
And I thought, you know, because in FanDuels, we talk about the FanDuels. I don't bet on the games, but I like making like 2 FanDuel lineups and go from there. Because I swapped him out, or I swapped, I think, Dubs out to put Tonyan in after I saw Elton was playing. But now we're seeing a different thing here where, you know, before, and it's still the same thing, you're looking for that red zone touchdown from Tonyan. But now with Davante Adams being gone, it is crazy to see the spread, and people have talked about this. You know, Sammy Watkins led the team with 4 targets, then it was Aaron Jones with 3, Randall Cobb with 3, Romeo Dubs with 3, Alan Lazard with 3, Tonyan with 2, Christian Watson with 3, A.J. Dillon with 3. So it's just, it really is spreading the ball out, which is what we've been looking for these past few seasons, instead of just trying to only get the ball to Davante Adams.
You'd force it to him on a third down or a second and long. And, you know, the defense knows that's going to happen, too. So it'd be an impossible situation. And then you say, it gives you talking points just like week 1. You know, you go in and say, oh, why didn't we do this? Why didn't we run the ball? And they're just forcing it to their playmaker. And it doesn't. It works, obviously, until it doesn't. But
I don't think we're going to force the ball to Robert Tunney.
No. That's what I'm saying. It's nice that we don't. Not saying it's nice that we don't have Devontae. Obviously, I'm not saying that.
Yeah.
But like you're saying, I think me and everyone else can agree. Having 6 receivers that you can spread the ball throughout
is better than 1.
Yes.
Yeah. And, you know, it's once again, probably, you know, being a little hypersensitive to the divisional round game where Davante had like 18 targets or whatever and everyone else had like 1 or 2. But either way, we'll see. Once Bakhtiari comes back, then I would probably like start Robert Tonyan in fantasy leagues. But until that happens, he's going to be staying in and blocking a little bit more. Josiah DeQuara. We saw him a little bit more in the H-back role, once again, running the ball a little bit more. He did have 15 snaps, but we're seeing he is truly the guy who takes that kind of H-back, fullback role now with that Dominic Daphne is in Denver as well. And then Big Dog, he was out there 50% of the time, and he's usually just on Yash's left side helping him out chipping. So speaking of the offensive line there, have to talk about the guys who came back. Elton Jenkins, bit of a surprise him playing, and then it was Runyon at left guard who must have passed the concussion protocol on Saturday. But yes, surprising to see Elton Jenkins out there. You know, he's been off the PUP for a while, but 10 months after tearing your ACL, still very impressive to see that. And, you know, they kept saying he was rusty, but
do you have the average on what that is off an ACL?
It's
I just don't know. Like, I mean, no. I just don't know. Is that like, is that good? Is that quick? Is that long?
For roughly, you want to say, I always assume a year. Okay. I always assume a year out. No. So he tore it in November last year, I remember, because it was
so he's back earlier or on track, at least. He's not like.
Yes. Him and Robert Tonyan were both very well ahead of schedule.
Cool.
And as a lot of people have seen as well, Matt LaFleur after the game in the post-game press conference said that if Elton didn't play, they would have probably lost the game, which is a pretty incredible statement to make. Yeah, because
that's some praise for a game that you won by 2-3 scores.
So we'll get into that with Take News with David Bakhtiari. I think there's some messaging going on here as well. But I just thought the statement was funny from LaFleur saying if he didn't play, they would have lost. Not because of like the point differential, but yes, it's very nice for Elton to hear that, but imagine being Jake Hansen, who gets moved to the bench. Your head coach literally just said that if you started and you played football, which is your job, your team would have lost.
You are worth a deficit of 17 or more points. If when you're on the field, that's how bad you are.
Literally. Or maybe it's, you know, Royce Newman is just that much better at guard, but pretty a pretty incredible statement to see a head coach say. Josh Myers, we can talk about him, probably his worst game as a pro. Like mentioned earlier, he whiffed, or he had the he had the snap that hit Watson. He whiffed on a couple blocks. didn't look all that great. But he did pull a couple times with Newman. It's weird because in off the ball online, he's not the best at just blocking straight up, it seems like, right now. But when you get him in space running, he is an absolute fucking freight train. We saw that a few times with him and Newman just running. Like I said, running and playing was a bit of a surprise. Very nice to see him out there and not have to struggle with where we go. Is it going to be Jake Hansen or Zach Tom? And Yosh didn't play great. And I don't know what it was. I'm sure you saw on the Robert Quinn sack, who had, you know, had the second most sacks last year, so it shouldn't be that surprising. But Yosh did this weird thing when he was stepping and kicking back where he like raised the roof with his left hand, which is very strange. I'm sure it's some, you know, trying to get your fundamentals right, but that was very, it was weird to see that happen.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know much, like you said, fundamentals on that. Mm-hmm. So I was just kind of assumed, you know what, he knows better than I do. I kind of didn't overthink it because I would have way overthought it. So yeah, it was better for me just to shut it off.
I guess it didn't help because the sack happened, but it was just a very, I want to just see a gif of him raising the
like
roof.
What's that about? Yeah, maybe it was just like a crowd hype up moment. You know, who knows?
Yeah,
he did
right
it poorly.
The sack of Aaron Rodgers. But yeah, either way, I like seeing Yosh out there. Hopefully we won't see him out there in the near future with Bakhtiari coming back. But even like the touchdown, I love finding Yosh, that first touchdown at least, where the way he celebrates and such a big dude, it just gets me.
Oh yeah,
gets me going.
Well, that's the same thing. Like, I mean, like we talked last week when Za'Darius and Aaron Rodgers were going. It's just you like to see, not to go back to him, but you like to see the guys who you're watching.
It's still
get
just
pumped.
A kid's game.
Exactly. I'm saying you love to see it, and it's like they're pumped. You know, they smile like, yeah, you see it. You know, and it's just or like I think there was a play when Aaron Jones kind of slid into the Bears sideline after like running for like 27 yards, and he kind of does this little flick of the hand as a first down right in their face, and like he's smiling. Obviously, that, you know, he's kind of an asshole, but it's fun. It makes it seeing those little small celebrations, or even like the touchdown.
You always go back to Donald Driver back in the day, the first downs where he put his entire shoulders and flip them and just point forward.
Yeah, so, love that.
But with that is all we have with the offense. We will have a quick commercial break. And we are back with the defense. Classic Packers defense, Pettine defense, Dom Capers defense, where they look awful at the beginning. The first quarter, you kind of wonder if they even had a game plan. But they eventually settle in and hold the opponent to a low score. Obviously, 10 points is pretty cool. We'll start off at cornerback.
You could quickly say the last six quarters of Packer football, they have held their opponents to 3 points?
If we just got rid of the first two quarters of the Viking game and you go back to the Niners game even, it's like it's hardly any points
at all. I mean, really, yeah. Okay, so that's all.
It's too bad we can't do that, yes. Starting off at corner, Jair Alexander. Once again, he's a pretty good football player. Got a little worried on that EQ play. There was a couple of plays last year, too, just in coverage, I think, where he got burnt. We'd always see the graphics of, you know, he hasn't allowed a receiver over 50 yards, and I think that happened, like, twice last year before he got hurt. But anyways, the last thing I should be doing is bitching about Jair Alexander's play. But, great game. Obviously had the pick late. We're starting to see he's not the best in the run game. In the Niners game, the playoffs last year, too, on that 3rd and 8, he did miss a tackle. Not like you can expect much out of a corner in the run game anyways. And he did have that one missed tackle on Herbert in the first as well. Ryan Wood from the Green Bay Gazette brought that up to Jair and how he said how, you know, you were second on the team in tackles your rookie year. And he asked him if he misses tackling. And he said, no, I get paid to cover. So he set that straight pretty clear. And like I said, too, he, you know, had the fourth down pushback, too. Not a hell of a lot more you can say about Jair Alexander. I mean,
that's what you asked for, right?
Yeah. Moving on to Rasul Douglas. I love him. He's just one of those energy guys, kind of like, you know, when you get a touchdown and everyone's celebrating. It's like Rasul, when he makes a play, he lets everyone know. And he had those back-to-back plays in the second or third quarter, I believe, where he just sniffed out the screen. He was almost too early. Like, he had to trip and fall and get back up so he didn't outrun the play. And then the very next play, I think he had a tackle at, like, the line of scrimmage as
well. Absolutely great to watch. And it's nice to see our defense finally, I mean, years past, we've been just stomped on, you know, holding an offense that could be pretty productive, you know, is great.
Yeah, and you know, when I think of Rasul Douglas, you think of the Cardinals play last year, but when my mental image in my head is him like looking up, just yelling after a play, which is awesome.
Yes.
You want those emotions.
Fun guys on the field to make your entertainment of watching the game more enjoyable as well.
Exactly. That's part of football.
Seriously. And no, exactly.
Aaron Rodgers, too, this offseason said he compared Rasul to Woodson as far as how smart he is. So, and once again, I've mentioned it a few times last year. The big thing with Rasul Douglas, obviously he was a surprise signing last year, or at least that he was that good. You know, we signed him midseason. No one really wanted him. He was on a practice squad. Literally, Jerry Gray, the defensive backs coach, taught him how to watch film in the NFL. He simply was not taught well enough how to watch film properly, and now that he
and
is...
And that made the difference?
That made the difference, and now he's, you know, jumping balls and
wow,
sniffing out screens like
learning
this.
How to improve his game, and especially if Rodgers is saying he's one of the smarter guys out there
yeah.
to get it, that's incredible.
Went from being a practice squad player to signing a three-year contract.
Whoever
for like
overlooked
$15 million.
That in the first place, I mean...
Well, yeah, even last year, too, because Rasul was a second or third round pick. He just never caught on early
wow.
in his career. Yeah. Finishing it off, Eric Stokes, he had a pretty nice pass breakup, too. He played a halfway decent game as well. Safety, bit of a bounce back game, but not that much for both of them. Adrian Amos has had a weird back-to-back. He had another, you know, the run game as a whole, or run defense as a whole, wasn't very good. There was multiple times where Amos missed a tackle, and Savage has this neat little trick where he misses a tackle and he's somehow able to recover, run back around, and finish the tackle. They'll both be back and better, but I don't know. Some, especially Amos in a contract year, we're still figuring some things out in front of him, but you'd expect a little bit more from them.
Well, I do have a question on your take on that, because
okay, I will try to answer.
Are
my best.
We going to expect the Packers' run D just to be a little bit less than great for the remainder of the year? I think David Montgomery had like 120 some yards
yep.
on like 15 or 20, I don't know, something under 20 rush attempts.
Yep.
So, and he had some big breakout plays too.
Yep.
And then I think help me out here with the
Herbert.
He was averaging like 8 or 10.
Yeah,
or
no, they both did pretty well. I mean, because Montgomery still finished with 122 yards.
Right. So is that a spot where our defense is just going to kind of struggle with that?
We'll
a
wait
bit?
And see. I guess I'll move on here quick. Quay Walker, he's very exciting to watch. Obviously, we want to see him in space. We want to see him blitz more. Great in pass coverage. The play he made on Justin Fields on the goal line was incredible.
Yes.
But outside of that, he's a little bit suspect in the running game. There was a few times where you see him get sucked in, and just like I see one of the like the Bears left guard is blocking Jerron Reed, and then Quay ran up into it almost, and he kind of takes himself out of plays. So that's been part
yeah.
of it. Like I'm saying, it's the defense as a whole. We've got Jerron Reed on the defensive line, we've got Quay at linebacker, and then we've got Amos and Savage back there trying to figure out exactly how they're going to navigate it. Last year, the Packers defense was the worst per carry in the NFL. So we are still recovering from
okay.
that.
Okay, yeah, I didn't have that stat line. Okay.
Yeah, it's weird because we would have games where teams just wouldn't run on us, but when they did, they'd fucking gash us. Like that Browns game on Christmas.
Right.
If Nick Chubb would have had 10 more rushes than he did, you know, Baker had like fucking 5 picks.
Oh, yeah.
The Browns would have probably won that game, especially that last drive
no
as
doubt.
Well. But, yeah, I don't know. We'll see with what's going to happen with the run defense. Once again, Quay is awesome. Very excited to see his career moving forward. But
yeah,
run D is.
I'm not
even Campbell. Campbell right now, Devondre Campbell, he has more missed tackles this year than I believe he did all of last year. Don't quote me on that, but
okay.
it's pretty close to it at this point. Because
our pass defense, I mean, I'm solid on. I
yeah.
have no real
oh,
concerns.
Yeah.
But it's the run D. It's I just don't want to expect to see every rush attempt go for 10 yards.
And it just sucks, too, because it's that I think Hank said it last year where I'd rather them just score in a couple quick plays and it be over rather than this long,
down.
Monotonous.
It takes a hit of morale,
yes,
you know?
Yeah, and you're drained, too. The defense gets
yeah.
pretty tired after that.
Because then the next set of down or the next, you know, turnover, they're coming back out there and passing all on you.
Exactly, yeah, there you go. Moving on to outside linebacker. Here is one of the stats for front seven players creating pressure in the NFL. These are the top seven linebackers and defensive linemen in percent of pass rush snaps resulting in a pressure among guys with at least 30 pass rushes.
Okay.
So
sure.
baseline there. I'll just say who the Packers are in the top 10. Rashawn Gary is seventh. Kenny Clark is fifth. And number one is Preston Smith.
Wow.
Yep. Preston,
that is solid.
Yeah. Preston Smith probably, you know, he had a couple of good plays. A lot of them seemed to be just knucklehead plays on the offensive line for the Bears, but still, I mean, you can't ask for more. He finished with 7 tackles, 2 sacks, 2 tackles for loss, 6 hurries, and 3 QB hits. I really enjoyed the play where he ran around Fields and like looped a double all around the right tackle and then tackled him from the front. That was pretty fun to see. It's Preston Smith has had this weird thing too where every other year his stats have been good and then he has a down year, but so far so good for having 2 solid years in a row.
Mix it up a little bit there and yeah, get back to back, nothing terrible. So I mean our pass rush, I love watching that. The pressure on the QB consistently is solid and fun to watch.
Yes, absolutely. Especially Fields too. It's funny, like I said, that last play, you flush him out of the pocket and you're like, oh shit, we couldn't finish, but then he ends up throwing a pick anyways. Rashawn Gary still very solid, you know, another sack this game too. Tackle for loss where he immediately just beat the tackle on a bull rush. And that seems to be like his move. We see a lot of, you know, it's in the intro too of him going through the training and being Bane Gary, but he doesn't have the finesse moves. It's when he bull rushes, he absolutely just dominates dudes. And he had the, it's very fun to see. It's almost like the, is it Mike Pinnell? The defensive lineman back in the day who like ran up at the line of scrimmage and just ran a couple dudes over. Rashawn Gary, when he gets a head start and runs into a tackle, that one clip's going kind of semi-viral on Packers
falling
Twitter,
over.
He just fucking, like, you can't stop Rashawn Gary if he gets a, you know, 5-stride head start and then he runs into you.
He's pummeling you down.
Yeah, he's an absolute fucking animal. Moving on to the defensive line. Kenny Clark, like I talked about, he does have a lot of pressures for a defensive lineman. He is the second highest rated player on the defense for this game. He also right now is graded as, I know he's more disruptive than Aaron Donald has been so far this year. In less snaps, he has more pressures and more sacks. But yeah, other than that.
Aaron Donald was number one overall last year, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's by far. He's usually like far and away the best defensive lineman, yes. He had Kenny had the Reggie White shoulder shrug play again this week, and it's really just kind of waiting for the rest of the defensive line to play up to Kenny's play. We made a lot about Jerron Reed signing, obviously drafting Devonta Wyatt, who's been a bit of a letdown, but it's just his rookie year either way. But waiting to see if Dean Lowry, Jerron Reed, and hopefully TJ Slayton too, who when TJ's getting more snaps, Kenny can be a lot more dangerous, so we'll just have to see what happens there, and that should also help settle down the run game. But yeah, that's the defense.
Are there any defensive plays where you were like, why did we run that? Like anything that you were like, that you completely disagreed with, you know?
No,
none of that.
Well, no, it's strange too, because I've seen this thrown out there quite a bit. The Packers haven't blitzed at all this year. We've had very, it's been just the guys on that front seven, either the
you
defensive
almost haven't
lineman,
needed
outside
to
linebackers.
Create the pressure that you're looking for. I mean,
exactly. So it's been as, you know, stale and boring as possible, but obviously it worked fine against the Bears.
I mean, if I'm understanding that stat you said a few minutes back ago correctly, I'm still mind boggled by it. Out of the top 30 players, out of the top 10 players, you said.
Mm-hmm.
We
have three of them.
I mean, and that's out of 32. That's insane.
Yeah,
that
but
is...
it's stats lie. You find sure. I obviously
you
find the right ones.
That. Yeah. Okay.
Because
okay.
Once again, I've brought the play up a few times now. Justin Fields' last throw of the game, he was there was 2 pressures on that play. Kenny Clark and I think Rashawn Gary flushed
right.
him.
Yep.
It led to an incomplete pass, but it's 2 pressures. It's a violent play. You know, it's a pressure play from a defensive player. It's a positive, but it's not like it had a ton that
yeah,
really.
No, I just,
outcome.
I guess what I wanted to make sure, not make sure, but just see if you were kind of on par with our defensive play calling. Your head coach, you don't change, your defensive coach, you don't change
yeah.
much.
I mean, Joe Barry isn't a NFL intellectual, I would say, but he knows.
He's getting it done.
He knows so much more than me, yes.
Cool.
Moving on to special teams. Last thing to break down on this game. Once again, I am just over Amari Rodgers. I know he had that nice return of 20 yards. In the punt return for 20 yards, he had a decent kick return too for 25, but I just don't really care at this point. Even that one where he had the 20-yard return, if you or I were back there, we would have gotten at least 10. Like, it was so well blocked, and to follow it up later with that muff, it's like, I don't care how explosive you can be. If I have to worry about you dropping the punt, I don't want you back there. And even at his highs, Amari just you know, the juice isn't worth the squeeze at this point.
I mean, again, like a Madden reference from last week, the guy's playing on pro against all pro. He's just, his blockers are great. He's getting to the 30-yard line no matter what.
Yeah, it's been getting better, too, with the special team settling down a bit. Rudy Ford and Levitt showed up on the coverage teams. You saw them both. I know Rudy Ford, like, got down there immediately. I don't think there was any returns because both of these guys are just able to get down there so quickly. And O'Donnell, too, former Bear, obviously our punter now, had two punts in this game. Guess how many yards the two punts went?
Oh, gosh. I'm going to go 180. That's crazy. That's crazy. 120. 120.
I mean, you're right. So an average punt in the NFL is like 45 yards, Andrew.
I remember one of them. We were like on our 25-yard line, and I think, didn't it go
it was like 70
into
yards.
The end zone?
Yeah.
It went into the end zone. I was like, you don't see that. Like, yes. You don't see that happen.
So we had two punts for 122 yards, an average of 61.
I want to defend myself here quickly because I was like, I thought you don't see that happen, but then when you asked, I was like, maybe you do see that happen. Maybe that was the average. Two of those, you know, 80 yards, 160. So anyway.
When you said 180.
Yeah, no, that's wild. I understand that.
A 90-yard punt? Would be remarkable to do it twice
from the 10-yard line,
and you'd have to pin them.
No, I understand.
Okay, well, you know what? This is perfect, Andrew. Well, you know what? We're gonna wait for that later. We will.
Is this the segment of is Kyle an
idiot? I was gonna say, is Kyle an idiot, but we always take news first.
Oh, so perfect, because we don't want to get four wrong things in a row. That would be really belittling.
Let everyone know how dumb you are.
Yes,
so
yes.
We'll take news here.
Football time. Take news.
Right. Take news for the week. Obviously, there has been a lot of talk about David Bakhtiari. Well, I would say, I mean, since he's been a Packer, but especially the last year with his knee, obviously everyone's wondering what's going on. Elton Jenkins came back this week. David Bakhtiari has obviously had a lot of complications with his knee and so on. Well, you know, Aaron Rodgers and Matt LaFleur both talked Elton up quite a bit after the game. We see messaging in the NFL. We see coaches, players trying to control the narrative, or they say things, and especially now with Matt LaFleur, he's been a lot more tight-lipped on stuff. But he did speak out, obviously talking about Elton Jenkins this week, and obviously Rodgers gave him some praise too, but I want to break it down a little bit because I think there's some messaging going on here for the team. So starting things off, let's go back in time. This is August. This is, I believe, the week that David Bakhtiari came off the PUP list during training camp, and this was him on Pat McAfee's show.
Come back. Thought that was all normal. Ended up needing to go get a scope, which then pushed it back further to the Lions game, and then they're like, all right, I mean, okay, you guys want me to, like, well, let's do this. And then after that game, I wasn't able to rebound. It was in such a bad spot that there was no way that I could gear it up to play. And then push forward about, they said, we talked about just take time off, you'll be good. Right, kind of getting close to OTAs. I'm like, hey, I don't feel good still. So then for another scope, and I felt, initially coming out, I felt really good. But then again, I have now three surgeries and, 20 months. So, and I never really got out of the first surgery. And then it has a compounding effect. So now I have to kind of work off three surgeries and all the, you know, with the atrophy, the turning on the muscles again. So it's just been taking a long time. But I will say, like, this totally feels different than where I was last year.
All right. So, you know, Dave, and once again, for those who don't know, you know, he's had the initial surgery, a couple cleanups after that. Played against Detroit. Rodgers pushed him to play against Detroit, came out for like 20 some snaps. Haven't seen him play since. So, you know, he's had some complications, like you said there. I believe after OTAs, didn't feel right, went and had another knee scope. So fast forward now, you know, September, week two, Elton Jenkins tore his ACL in November. He started week two. Pretty impressive. So here is first Matt LaFleur talking about Elton Jenkins playing this week.
And then lastly, just want to give a big shout out to Elton Jenkins showing up for us tonight. I really don't think if he's not in the lineup, we don't win that game. And just it transcends his level of play, what he's able to bring to us. You know, I thought for his first night out. I thought he did a great job, and certainly there's some things that he's going to want to clean up, like they all, like every guy.
And now, sorry for all the clips, but now here is Aaron Rodgers, who after the game, he talked up Elgton Jenkins, but now even today on Tuesday, he talked him up once again on the Pat McAfee show.
The fact that he was out there, I can't tell you how proud I am, the extent of how proud I am of Elgton. Just, he'd been out for months and months, ACL, rehab. It's tough to get back out there and play after you've had a significant injury. You know, you got to get the confidence back and make a play. And yeah, I'm so proud of him. You know, he had a couple plays. I'm sure he wanted back. But the fact that he was out there, that's what success is. And that's what being a warrior is. And I
here
said
we
before
go.
Him, I need the warriors to show up, you know, to prepare your mind and ready your hands for battle. And I'm really proud of Elgton for the way that he stepped up.
So before you, Andrew's just chomping at the bit to talk here about this. He was unaware of this, you know, half an hour ago, and now he's all,
I got to get caught up.
He's all hyped up. So once again, and Rodgers doesn't say things. Once again, coach doesn't really say much of note anymore. And Rodgers doesn't say things that he hasn't calculated or thought about ahead of time. And to me, listening to what Matt and Aaron are saying, it really seems like that they're trying to get David Bakhtiari to play. Now, obviously, I mean, it's tough to try to, you know, as fans, we've seen a lot of stupid shit of fans bitching to David Bakhtiari, waste of money, you should cut him, blah, blah, blah. That shit's ridiculous. That shit's stupid. But it does seem like we're getting to this point, and I'm not, you know, bringing Dave down for this, but it does seem like it has turned into a mental thing, and he doesn't feel very sure about his knee right now. He is medically cleared. He was medically cleared last year at the end of the year. Once again, he is medically cleared, and it seems like they're really trying to get him over this hump to play on the offensive line again. The biggest thing for me, too, and I'm sorry for just going on here, but Rodgers saying he wants warriors. He said that. He wants someone to go to battle with. And they both said, they went out of their ways to say, you know, even LaFleur saying, you know, we would have lost this game if Elgton didn't play, but also said, I know he's still rusty. They're even putting in these qualifiers that, hey, Dave, even if you think you're coming back and you're not going to be 100%, it's okay to be rusty because that's still better than the alternative.
You're a top-tier player in the NFL, and we need you because you're one of our warriors. Ready your hands and your bodies, quote, end quote.
Even the 20-some snaps you played against the Lions last year were impressive.
Right. So before we go further, I have a question. I do not watch the Pat show that often or ever, especially video. Do all the guests from the Packers wear the same shirt?
They all wear different shirts.
Okay, so my first sign.
I don't know where this is going.
Are you kidding? I know this is only an audio show, but if you watch and you go to Bakhtiari, okay?
Bakhtiari.
Yep. you, Mr. B. You go and you see his clip. He's in a green and yellow shirt with a 3 on it. Aaron Rodgers, in his interview today, is in the exact same shirt.
They have different shirts. I think they all have like the same workout shirt. Like,
okay.
They give them lifting
shirts. So they're
shirts.
Just wearing their workout shirt. Aaron was signaling, hey, you know what I mean? If we're talking about sending a message,
so
he's clearly saying, I need my warriors. Well, he's wearing us the same shirt that another, you know what I mean?
So like, you thought there was verbal messaging and nonverbal messaging.
I thought
messaging
we were subliminal, basically just straight up saying, Bakhtiari, get your ass in gear.
Bakhtiari.
Yeah, I think you can't pick it up on the mic, but that's what I'm saying.
That's not happening at all. Yes, it's picking up just fine with me. But yes, either way, it's a very interesting thing. And even a couple more things. Ryan Wood last week said David Bakhtiari would be out the first 2 weeks. So maybe we'll see him this next week. But the other weird thing was even at the beginning of the year, Rob Domofsky had a report that Bakhtiari feels good to go week one. And then soon after that, Bakhtiari even tweeted saying, I didn't say that, like slow your roll a little bit. Once again, Rob, a lot of people are hot and cold on him, but I think that's another piece of evidence that I think he double checked that. One, he talked to Dave, who was giving him the coach speak, like, yeah, I feel good to go. But I think he talked to guys within the organization too, like, hey, is Dave good to go? And they were like, yeah, he is physically good to
go.
Well,
here's a question. If you're medically cleared, I don't know how this works with salaries. I don't know if you do. You're medically cleared. How can you just sit and say, I'm injured? You know, maybe it's not just if the coaches say it's okay, it's okay. But if they say, hey, I want you to play, and you say no, even though you don't have any medical reason not to,
Do you still get owed?
I mean, you're not playing.
It's tough because, you know, David Bakhtiari, that contract, I believe it was like $100 million.
Right, and obviously
so it's like
he's
that,
not...
That's like a fucking business.
...tearing his ACL on purpose, but I mean,
we'll
nonetheless,
see. We'll see if he's out there week three. Obviously, we've seen other things like this recently in professional sports with like Ben Simmons, and I forgot who the other player for the Spurs, who reminds me of Romeo Dubs. Anyways, you know, I think eventually he will play, but you can't force a guy to play who doesn't feel good about his knee, and this is his livelihood. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
You know, if it becomes a bigger problem, he would be thrown on the injured reserve. We'll see what happens there. But either way, not knocking Dave, just saying it appears that's what is going
right
on here.
And if Dave, you take your time until you're healthy.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to upset Dave.
Never. No, we love him. He likes drinking beer. He's a cool guy. He was a late round pick and turned into the best tackle in the NFL. So
of course. Seems like a great freaking guy.
Yeah. And with that, is Colin an idiot?
I'm not an idiot.
Okay. You sure?
Yes.
Andrew, is Kyle an idiot for the week? You are an astonishing 0-3 on the year. Probably a new record. I don't know if Kyle ever did that. So
yeah, Kyle's a little smarter than I am. So given that.
We will see. You know, it worked well last week. We'll try it again. Andrew, here's your first question.
Thank you.
Which one of these humans is a former Green Bay Packer? Fuzzy Thurston? Ian No? Ron Woodruff?
And these are all persons?
These are all persons.
Okay.
These are all human beings.
Can I get that third name again, please?
Ron Woodruff.
Final answer 3.
Ron Woodruff?
Yes.
Okay, well, you are once again wrong. The correct answer is Fuzzy Thurston. He was an offensive lineman for the glory days, the Lombardi days for the Green Bay Packers. Ian No is an alternative country/country artist who I like. And Ron Woodruff was the character who I believe was a real person. I could be wrong. It might have been based in fact or fiction. Was Matthew McConaughey's character in Dallas Buyers Club, who I believe died of AIDS.
Yes, that's a great, great movie.
Yep. So there you go. 0-4 on the season. Let's see if we can keep this going. Question number 2.
Not to derail, but I literally probably spent 5 hours in the past week, I'm not kidding, doing Packers trivia online.
I avoid that shit, yeah.
I'm like, I'm going to come up impressing everyone.
This is year 4 of the podcast, and we've gone through literally, you know, over 100 trivia questions, so you might not be getting any of those cookie-cutter ones. So great job, 0-4. Speaking of 4, question number 2, but it's Brett Favre. Mr. Brett Favre, I don't know if you've seen this, he's been in the news over the last week. Some money-making news, so
yes.
Roll along with that. Can you name me 2 products Brett Favre has endorsed in the past?
I can. Jeans as a product.
Okay, that's like saying milk or water.
Levi's. And God, there's a shaving product that he is... all about. I'm gonna go though differently here. Those are not my final answers. I'm just speaking. Mm-hmm, I'm gonna go Brett Favre steakhouse.
Okay, that doesn't count.
Fuck, I gotta try. You know, I give me a gimme here.
Jesus Christ.
Okay, fine. I'm gonna go. It's not Levi's. Now that I say it, it's Wranglers.
Very good. I was looking up to see if Wrangler was a subset of Levi's.
I thought about it for a second there, and I was like, no, it's not Levi's. He's got the straight Wranglers.
Okay, you have one. Now get the second one.
Okay. Second one.
There's a lot.
Yeah, no. He's got I can literally see him shaving his face as it's going salt and pepper. It's a shaving cream product.
It's not shaving cream.
It's a razor then. It's a straight edge razor. No, maybe it's not. God.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5.
Volleyball courts.
Good guess, but I will not except that I'll just run through some of them here. These are all the ones I could find. Snapper, which is the lawn mowing, you know, it's one of the larger lawnmowers.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Remington, the hunting brand. Sears, Prilosec, OTC, I remember those commercials back in the day. MasterCard, Wrangler, Copperfit, that's a big one. That's the, like, not wristbands, but the, like,
you
got to
tell me
sleeves.
The face product. You got to tell me, because I see it.
Microtouch.
Is that the yes? Okay.
Yeah, it was the thin, like, little electric razor.
I remember seeing gray hairs on his face.
It was like right after he retired. Yes. Yeah, the commercials were a classic.
God.
The Hyundai. He's in a Hyundai commercial. Green Eagle CBD. This is a newer one.
Oh, wow.
There is Sirius. He has a Sirius show, or did at least. And then there is the most recent one is the Holo app, which is some Christian, like, prayer app thing, like, you can pray with Brett Favre. So
good for him.
Very good for him.
He's also on that Cameo.
Parole,
I know,
soon? Yeah.
I know. I'd love Cameo for the sake of what it is, and it is. I don't even know. There's plenty to talk about that, but
I've never used Cameo for anything.
No,
but yes,
of course not. Of course not.
Brett's not having a very good week. He seems to be a pretty horrible person. Something else that's horrible. You at trivia. It looks like you were 0-5.
No,
on the season.
No. Hang on. I get a half a point.
Okay, well, we'll see where that half... So usually with the half points, well, when we revisit and get another half point, depending on which way
that
goes,
that.
You might lose
it. As long as I get a little credit here and there. We'll see.
Okay, here is the third question. Andrew, are you ready?
I hope so.
Okay. The Packers play Brady this week, and then the Patriots the following one. What was Aaron Rodgers' record versus Brady as a Patriot?
I actually am going to go 0-0 in the regular season.
Okay. They played twice.
They did. Okay. Because I remember, twice. Well, I thought
Matt Flynn played one. I think Brady might have been hurt for
I
one.
Remember like the first 7 years. I remember like there was an injury and then they never got to play.
There was the Matt Flynn game where the Packers should have won, but the Patriots had a kick return from an offensive lineman that nearly scored.
Because I was going to say, I do remember like it being a whole thing. So I'm going to...
Two games,
1-1.
Very good, yes.
500.
Bit of a nice little layup setup there.
I
shout out Brett Favre and volleyball courts.
Yes. I appreciate you on that one. now... I do want to go, you don't have to use, I'm just honestly actually curious your opinion on the whole Brett Favre thing.
I mean, it's something I like to avoid. Obviously, it's not a good thing to take tax dollars, especially tax dollars that are, you know, there for poor people or for, you know, welfare and all that. And he took it to make a volleyball stadium. I don't know. We'll see what happens. Yeah, this story's been going on for about 2 years now, off and on. So we'll see what actually happens.
Yeah, I just didn't know if you actually like followed and you had any inside info that I didn't.
No,
it was actually not that he didn't know or whatever. You know, this is
getting into real journalism with him and outside of sports journalism, and we'll see. I think in the future we're going to get some more pictures of Brett Favre wearing a suit going into court, so that'll be interesting in the coming months or years, but
hopefully they're Levi's.
Yeah, that'd be amazing. Yeah, get Wrangler to sponsor his court suit. That would be great. With that, moving on, we do have another football game this week. The Green Bay Packers are playing the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on Fox. 3:25 kickoff. Kevin Burkhart and Greg Olsen once again on the call. Don't mind them, but they're pretty boring. Kevin Burkhart isn't very good in big moments. He tries to yell, and it just doesn't sound
right.
Yeah,
he gets excited.
Yeah. Vegas, when I wrote this last night, had the Bucs as 3-point favorites, which is pretty good. Of course, as everyone knows, Vegas gives you 3 points for being the home team. The over-under was originally set at 48, but dropped to 45 after Mike Evans got suspended, I assume. So I don't know how much that line has moved since then.
41, as of 6 p.m. tonight, it is 2.5 towards the Bucs.
Okay.
And it is 41.5.
You know, I thought I saw that
it
last night too. There was
so
some different
heavy
lines going on.
Because
yeah.
I don't understand, I guess, why Mike Evans makes that big of a, everyone's saying, oh, run game. And I mean like our receiver core is the same as it was last week and the week before.
Okay. Well, let me go.
Well,
we can get into the Vegas odds later. That's
I'm just asking about the game flow in general.
Well, here we go. We're running through. So the Bucs are 2-0. Brady's back, you know, for how bad he was or how pissed off he got last week. They're still a 2-0 team. on offense. Brady is obviously the quarterback, trying to avoid a divorce with his wife. His offensive line has been pretty banged up all year, and that's led to Brady being pretty average, not the whole stat padding that we've seen in the past. Not sure who will be out there at wideout. Obviously, as we've said, Mike Evans is suspended after the fight he was fighting in Tom Brady's honor against the Saints.
Fair enough.
Suspended the one game. He was heard today. I think they'll probably make an announcement on Wednesday, so we will see there. Julio Jones and Chris Godwin both did not play last week. They were hurt, so we'll see what the injury reports are looking like on Friday, but up in the air who the pass catchers are going to be. Once again, Brady's having a pretty average year. Last week against the Saints, they did run the ball quite a bit. They had 30 rushes. Guess how many yards they had on 30 rushes?
80.
72, an average of 2.4 yards. Not very good.
Yeah.
Sounds like fans are already getting a little restless with the new coaching staff. Bruce Arians was pushed out this offseason, it seems like, after Brady came back. Byron Leftwich is still the offensive coordinator, but they've been a little bit more run-heavy, and it hasn't been all that great to start the year.
Fournette, right? I mean, he's not like a top 10 back anyway. I mean,
he was pretty good last year, though. He's a power back, but he's not. Yeah, he had a rough go in Jacksonville and was kind of,
I guess, when they got Bortles throwing, I mean, you're always throwing the ball, you're not running much.
He was still a key piece for why they won the Super Bowl two years ago. Moving on to the defense, this is obviously what Tampa Bay is known for. It's still very good. Devin White and Lavonte David are their two inside linebackers that are absolute studs. That's what we hope Devondre Campbell and Quay Walker can turn into. They're probably the best duo in the league. White has 19 tackles and 3 sacks, a forced fumble on the season already. Antonio Winfield Jr., everyone obviously remembers his dad being a very good corner for the Vikings. Vita Vey is still a great player for him. Shaq Barrett is good as well and had 7 pressures week 1, which is pretty fucking crazy. Jarnell Dean has 2 picks on the season. Safety Mike Edwards had a pick six last week, and through 2 games, they have allowed just 13 points. They have 4 picks, 10 sacks on the season. Could just be that they played Dallas and the Saints, but we'll see. But either way, that is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Andrew, any other thoughts that you want to say now that you couldn't wait earlier for?
Well, I think the Saints were favored in that first game.
It's not like
the Saints are garbage, or we're supposed to be garbage at least, right?
The Saints do have a very good defense. Their offense is kind of in question now too, just with the quarterback and Sean Payton leaving. But the Saints, especially divisional games, you never know, and the NFC South as well, home games seem to be very important. It seems like the Saints pull out some unexpected victories when they're playing at home.
Everything I see is supposed to be a very run-heavy game, mm-hmm. and not much, in the quarterback's hands. And even if that is the case, even if you put Fournette in there as a top running back, I take A.J. Dillon and Aaron Jones as a duo, right?
But they don't play each other. That's the thing. They're not, A.J. Dillon and Aaron Jones.
No, of course not. But I'm saying they're if you put them in an arm wrestling match, the two guys mm-hmm. versus Fournette, no, joking.
I was going to say, now that is an analogy I can understand.
Yes, exactly. But no, I don't know. I hate to say confident in anything, but I just feel like we're going to see a lot more scores, if anything, than what that line sets us at. Sometimes it's easy to understand those lines, because if Vegas was saying it was going to be 49, and now with just even the injury, or sorry, the suspension, I don't think he's alone 9 points, Mike Evans.
Yeah, well, I don't know. We'll see. I don't think it's just Mike Evans. It's probably Vegas also getting smart too,
and realizing some of the other stuff going on.
Well,
okay.
not even that. It's just the Packers have struggled as a whole playing in Florida for just about ever.
No.
We saw it last year, week one. I remember even playing the Bucs, Josh Freeman. We lost to him when they were a bad team back then. We don't play these hot weather early games very well down in Florida. So that's definitely part of it.
It's like a Bermuda versus a KBG. Where
a Bermuda.
A Bermuda.
A Bermuda Triangle. Yes,
but their Bermuda does much better in Florida, and the KGB or KBJ, whatever the fuck.
KGB, I was a great defensive end.
Yeah, okay. I was going for the grass. Cold season grasses. We're a cold season team.
Kentucky Blue, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, we'll see. Like I said, again, the offensive line is banged up for Tampa. Fournette's kind of a weird player, but at the same time, I wouldn't be shocked if we wake up on Monday and I see the score and, you know, the Packers lost by a few points and they were running for 6 yards a carry and just ran all over us. It seems to be our weakness, and especially going up against a veteran quarterback like Tom Brady. Veteran quarterbacks always, historically, whoever the defensive coordinator is for the Packers, the quarterback's always able to find a way and pick apart our defense. So that mixed with a suspect running defense right now, still, even with Fournette and a bad offensive line, could cause some troubles for the Packers.
I would be shocked if you wake up on Monday morning and you see the line and are surprised, because if you don't watch the game, I would be like, that would be the most confusing thing of everything that you said today.
Something
in the podcast.
Really bad probably happened.
Well, yeah, wake up and have to look at the score, like you're...
It's more of a figure of speech, but sure. I understand what you're saying. Do you have any other thoughts on this game, Andrew, or are you ready for some bold predictions?
Yeah, I think I'm ready for bold predictions.
Okay, cool. Well, let's start with your score prediction then.
My score prediction.
Yep.
I think
we were pretty good last week. We were just off 8 points. Not bad. Margin of victory. You know, Packers are better than we expected. So far, so good. And your bold prediction, quote unquote, was
I'm
solid.
I'm going 23-20. Okay. Green Bay Packers.
All right. Very good.
In a semi-low scoring game.
Okay. Once again, we have a very similar score. I have the Packers winning 23-21.
Wow.
So we were off a point. We don't set this up. Not like it would be impressive anyways, but...
Again, probably out of all the scores we've set so far, they're three very of the most common scores in a football. I mean, what, 28,
23 isn't even that common. 20, 21, and 24 would all be more common.
Well,
so it's weird that we both
I'm
said that.
I'm going the 23 side is because I'm taking all that shit. I'm reading online. Oh, it's a run-heavy game, so we're not going to score. You know, their defense is so good.
I like this voice that you're using. This is the media.
I wanted the B2B data guy come back a little bit.
There you go.
Yeah. But no, I think we get the ball down into the red zone, and Tampa Bay's defense does not allow us to score a touchdown.
They don't do as well, yeah.
In which we take the other route and kick a field goal.
There we go.
For 3 points. And enough of those, we'll be at 23.
All right, cool. I like that breakdown. Yes. I could see that happening. Moving on, bold predictions. Andrew, what is your bold prediction for this game?
Yes, my bold prediction of this game. I'm going to go out here, and I'm going to say that Robert Tonyan scores 2 touchdowns.
Okay. Okay.
And I say that because of the run defense. Okay. The pass defense that we're going up against. I think I read somewhere, actually not read, in the FanDuel's prettily looking. Tampa Bay's, it's only 2 games, obviously. But they are...
One of the best against...
Is it?
Worst against tight ends, I assume, is where you're going.
Yeah, they're like medium bad against tight ends and very, very good against wide receivers.
Okay.
So if we are going to throw the ball and get some tutties, I think Tanyan's an option that we can look at.
Okay, sure, not bad. And on top of that, I thought you were going to say this, but you didn't. If David Bakhtiari does play, I would think Robert Tonyan's going to be running some more routes. So
oh, wow. No,
very good. I like that.
When did we find out more on Bakhtiari?
So they have, for everyone listening at home, this is why you set it up. You don't want anyone to feel stupid who's listening right now. They have their injury report throughout the week. They say who practices throughout the week, and it's not until, I forget if it's Thursday or Friday, that they release who's out, who's questionable, whatever. But you don't know who's actually playing until 90 minutes before kickoff.
Because I've never been more invested in some kind of conspiracy / I'm gonna go back to these interviews and see the shirts if there's more of these green and yellow number 3 shirts, because if there's not and they're the only 2 or very rarely, there's something, because that's a straight up signal at Bakhtiari to say, hey, I'm talking about you, my warrior. You know, okay. Get your hands and your body ready.
Perfect. Yes. And I hope they're ready on Sunday.
Oh god, yeah.
Yeah. Moving on to my bold prediction. We've talked about on my was a little negative on him for the run game stuff. I have Quay Walker. I'm going to say he's going to have a sack and cause a turnover on Sunday. His first career sack and his first forced turnover. Pretty bold, but we'll see if that happens. You know, he's due. He's that explosive playmaking dude. He's a dog.
You would love to see it.
Yeah, yeah. Would you love to see it?
I would. Now, I just want to... Again, not even something we can do now, but I do want to take a peek at the 2 previous Tampa Bay games and see how many receivers they actually had that were worthwhile, that in their opponents did, I mean, so we can see, because we don't have 2 studs. We have well, five pretty decent guys.
Last week alone, they went up against Mike Thomas and the rookie out of Ohio State.
So their two corners can shut down two great studs who don't have really any other core.
Sure.
But we got five, not say well-rounded, but medium to decently well-rounded.
Yeah, medium rare.
That are actionable. You know, I mean, like you just said, Aaron Rodgers has seven different guys he targeted three or four times last week.
Yeah.
So if you, what I'm trying to say by that is, sure, they might shut down two, three guys.
Of our wideouts. But then you just feed Tonyan.
That's so why
you just wanted to go
touchdowns.
Back to how confident you are in your
anyone with those
production.
FanDuel lineups.
That's all. Moving on to everyone's favorite part of the week. If you could please leave a 5-star review, that would be cool. We actually got a few ratings last week. Very, very nice. Very cool.
Much appreciated from everyone.
Much appreciated. Very cool. If you want to do that again, that would be great. Or leave a review on the Apple iTunes store. On Spotify, you can just leave ratings, 5-star ratings. That'd be cool. If you want to take a screenshot of your rating, email it to us at PMP Podcast or DM it to us on Twitter. We will, if you give me your address, we will send you a free koozie. And still, God, if you're listening out there and you listened last year, bug me again, because Hank gave me all his postcards for Hank Miss last year. I've got a couple other goodies I can hand out with the koozie. So email me, DM me, and I can send you guys a few things. But yeah, that and what else? I don't know if you need a place to watch the game on Sunday, go to Lynn Lake.
Yeah, it's good. Honestly.
The beer, I'll say this too, the beer is much better than the Herkimer's beer was back in the day. We love the Herkimer, but the beer was awful.
The Herkimer will always have a place, you know, inside my heart there. Mm-hmm. Not in Minneapolis, but in my heart. And it,
like an ex-girlfriend, but you got to move on to the new one.
Exactly.
Your new wifey, and that is Lynn Lake for us.
Yes, exactly. But no, the beer's good. And again, mm-hmm. the dogs, they got that Mohawk beer coming up.
Mm-hmm. Mohawk poodles. Yes. Yes. But yeah, looking forward to this game. I keep thinking that the Bucks aren't very good, even the last 3 years, and they still end up fucking beating us. So hopefully the divorce is enough.
It's one of those things that every time, I mean, you know, it's funny that Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers have played more as a Buccaneer than in the past 3 years.
Yeah.
Than they did entirely as a Patriot.
Well, I mean, the amount of time, yes, it's surprising, but still AFC, NFC, it happens.
No, of course.
Yes.
It's just two of the biggest names in quarterback football in this
era. Well, it's like we've kept waiting for the Rodgers versus Patrick Mahomes game,
right,
too. And both times Mahomes was hurt, and then Rodgers got COVID. So.
Of course. I feel like the last few times it's been a shootout, and obviously weapons are very different now on both sides.
This is
more
true.
So the Packers side.
Yeah.
So it is going to be an interesting way to see that we utilize our offensive key figures.
Mm, wow. What a
hot take right there, tell you what.
What a statement. Well,
the game will be interesting.
Yeah, well, with that, Andrew, I don't have anything else. Do you have anything else?
Not at all.
Okay, well, with that, Eric Koskinen, please don't sue us.
Anywhere I quit my job. Yeah, cause it just won't pay. I worked all year, I worked all month. Then they took my money away. Yeah, well, now I don't care. Cause they ain't working like me down here. I said, hey now, little baby, I'm going deeper down in debt. Pack of cigarettes, yeah.
I mean, Tokies in the other one. Right, Andrew, how's your Survivor League going?
That's a great question. I'm out of all of them.
Mm.
Yes,
the ones that you manage?
The ones I manage. So now it's that nice point where I get to
work
for
free.
Exactly. Spend a lot of time and effort. But the question that I was going to ask you is the tie.
Yeah.
So I don't know. There's obviously not official rules anywhere.
I'm out. I would say if it's a tie, you did not lose. That
and that's
goes on. That
the reason I had to do that is because when I set up the initial email for my Uncle Phil's friends, I said, some of them were like, what is a survivor pool?
Uh-huh.
And they're like in his fantasy league. Oh, that's how is it, they do paper shit. Like they're not up to date with anything. So I explained it by saying you pick one team every week. Yep. Once you pick that team, you cannot pick them again. If the team you select does not lose, you move on into the competition.
Is that what you said?
That's exactly what I said. So based on that wording, a tie is a pass.
I would say double, yeah.
A tie is a pass.
Common sense would say it's a pass. And
every single person, obviously, who did not have the Colts said, oh, ties are losses in 90% of leagues. I said, okay, well, here's the email I sent. You got it. Everyone got it. It is very cut and dry. I mean, there's nothing I can do here. You know, look, I'd rather have everyone out because the sooner everyone else is out, the less I have to do, yeah. And I can start a new league if so. You know, mm-hmm. This doesn't benefit me at all. I don't give a shit. So I just didn't want to screw with these guys who, you know, trying to build up the pot and build mm-hmm. people up. I want them to enjoy playing. So I just couldn't do it, you know.
Okay, that's
and
fair.
That's it.